Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, November 18th, and we're glad you're tuned in and listening, and want to encourage you to tune in and listen to our live services tonight over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. That is the Island Ford Baptist Church live broadcast at 7 p.m. tonight. All right. Well, we are in restricted services at this time. I'll say more about that towards the end of the broadcast. All right. Do have a message. We're beginning today from Matthew chapter number 5, continuing the Sermon on the Mount study series, and hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy that with us. But I've got a good song queued up right here before we go to that. We've got the Joyful Moyes Singers, which is the Jimmy Moyes family from Dixon, Tennessee. We appreciate evangelist Jimmy Moyes and his family. They're singing a song here from their new recording. They just made a new CD back a month or two ago, and we appreciate this good song. A song that is entitled, Without a Doubt, I'm Saved. Amen. Well, I hope you have that same assurance, and hope you enjoyed that good song. Starting today, we're going to be looking at verse number 17, Matthew chapter number 5. We're reading verse 17 through 20, but I want to focus primarily on verse number 17 of our text, and going to bring a message that actually will last throughout the end of this week. We'll cover this today, tomorrow, and on Friday's broadcast, Lord willing. And we're looking, as I said, at verse number 17. I've got two main points for my message. We'll cover the first one on today's broadcast and tomorrow as well. This first point is entitled, Refuting the Misunderstanding in the Purpose of Our Lord's Coming. So we're going to be looking at that today, refuting the misunderstanding in the purpose of His coming, as we go into the message that was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. All right, Matthew chapter number 5. Verse number 17, I'll read down through verse number 20. Matthew 5, 17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. These four verses enter into a new section. Actually, the section runs through the rest of this chapter, chapter number 5. And we've been studying, as we talked about, the Sermon on the Mount, the largest sermon we have recorded of our Lord. I believe the most complete, when I say largest. I don't know if it was the longest sermon he ever preached, but I don't think he preached it in 15 minutes. I think it took him a while. If it took three chapters for it to be written, then I think it would have taken a while for him to preach it. But it's the most complete sermon that we have recorded, because not just certain things, but it seems like much of the things have been recorded that he must have said that day. Now, we finished the section already, the introduction, and then the Beatitudes, and then the section talking about our job as ministering, being salt and being light in this world that we live in this decaying and this dark world that we live in. Doesn't take very much observation or spiritual insight to be able to notice that our world is dark and getting darker. Our world is decaying and decomposing more rapidly than seemingly before. Our job as salt and light is more needed now than it's ever been. Amen. And we have more opportunity, more usefulness in our world probably than we ever could have had. And I thank God for that. But this next section begins in verse 17, as I said, goes through verse 48, completes the chapter here of chapter 5. And this section dealing with six contrasts between the teachings of our Lord and the teachings of the religious rulers of His day.
And just by way of introduction, I want to show you these six contrasts. Six times our Lord makes a statement, "Ye have heard, but I say unto you." Look at verse number 21. Verse 21 says, "Ye have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire." Look at verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said of them by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Verse 31 is the only difference. He doesn't say ye have heard, but he said it hath been said. "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put her away, or shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Verse 33, again, "Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." And he goes on, verse number 38, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Verse 43, the last one, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." And again, he goes on with that statement. So six times he says, "Ye have heard, or it hath been said, but I say unto you." Showing there's a contrast between the teachings of our Lord and the false teachings of, and by the way, and the hypocritical teachings of the scribes and Pharisees of his day. Now, one thing you'll notice, our Lord never says, "It is written, but I say unto you." He never contrasts his teachings with the teachings of the scripture. He contrasts his teachings with the teachings of the scribes. Amen. He never goes contrary to the Bible, but he goes contrary to those that claim to be teaching the Bible. And so you see the difference there, and he makes that very clear in verse number 17. And that's what I want to deal with this morning, particularly is verse number 17, and then maybe look at these others a little bit later. But before our Lord launches into his discourse in dealing with these contrasts between his teachings and the common teaching of the religious day, by the way, the common teaching of the religious world to this day is still contrary to the teachings of the scripture. I get amazed when I read what some people preach and teach as doctrine. Amen. As I hear what and by the way, it's not all other denominations. Sometimes it's men that call themselves independent Baptists. Amen. While I was in Virginia, Brother Owen loaned me a book on Saturday night. We were leaving on Sunday, and so I didn't have time to read the whole book. It's 148 pages. I read 48 pages. I'm going to get the book and read the other 100 pages later, but it's about a man, an independent Baptist preacher, that's preaching false doctrine spread around our world. And one of his things is, he says that, first of all, there's no Holy Ghost dealing with people to get saved. And he says that there's no evidence of salvation once you get saved. Matter of fact, he says 1 John proves, 1 John 4:20, where it says if a man's saved, he loves God, but he loves not his brother, then he's a liar, that he doesn't love God. That man says that proves that man's saved. He said you can hate God and be saved. You can hate your brother and be saved. You can be a liar and be saved. And he said that verse proves it because he calls him his brother. He hates his brother. Well, before I was saved, I had a brother. I didn't make him saved or me saved. Neither one of us were saved. But he is my brother. Right? Amen. Paul talks about being in perils of his brethren. He's not talking about Christians. He's talking about his countrymen. Amen. And that's just a rabbit that I ran over there. But here's the, I'm amazed at the common teaching sometimes that is contrary to the Bible. Amen. And our Lord was saying to them, you can't believe all these religious hucksters. There's a lot of shysters and crooks. Amen. And shenanigans going on out there. And he said, you can't believe all that, but you can believe this book. You can believe it. Amen. You can believe this book. Thank God you can. And so he launches, before he goes into this discourse, he wants to make it very clear. He's implicit in pointing out the fact that there is no discrepancy between him and the scriptures. There is no contrast between his teaching and that of the Bible. Amen. There was much misconception about the identity and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel was looking for a Messiah. They wasn't looking for one to go to the cross. They were looking for one to go to the throne. They didn't understand the identity and the ministry of the Messiah. The minds of the people were confused about that. And so Christ did not want there to be any misconceptions in their minds about his adherence to the scriptures and his agreement to the scriptures. So verse 17, he makes a very bold statement, twofold statement, a negative and a positive. And he says this, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen. And so when I look at that, there's two main points, and I want to bring those out this morning by the help of God. First of all, there's the refuting of the misunderstanding for the purpose of his coming. And then there's the reinforcing of the mission and the purpose of his coming. Amen. So first of all, there's the refuting. He refutes the misunderstanding, and he makes that clear in the very first verse of this section, verse number 17, first phrase, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. If we could put that in our modern day speech or vernacular, we'd say it something like this. Don't you even think that I've come to destroy the law and prophets. Don't you dare imagine that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. That's what our Lord's saying. Don't let it enter into your mind. Don't let the devil plant that seed thought. Don't allow your heart to ponder on that. There is no discrepancy between the Savior and the Scriptures. Amen. And so he begins this next section with a cautionary expression. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I believe that implies that our Lord recognized a danger of his hearers perhaps having a wrong conclusion, drawing the wrong conclusion, either from what he had said or from what he would say. Amen. He wanted to guard them against thinking that he might have come to destroy that great system of truth, that religious truth that had been handed down to the Jews, that had been given them, passed down through by the forefathers, and the scriptures had been given. Our Lord said, the scripture's not broken, and I'm not going to break it. Amen. Now, really, let me say before I get into this, these four verses, let me just give you a look at these four real quickly. Verse 17 is the statement, I'm not coming to destroy it. Verse number 18 is the statement, it can't be destroyed. Amen. Not only did Christ not come to destroy it, nobody else is going to be able to destroy it. They might try to pervert it. They might try to ignore it. They may do their best to try to do away with it. But the word of God's going to stand. And then verse number 19 tells us that your relationship with God is based on how you receive the scriptures. 19 and 20, there's those that are accepted into the kingdom or enter into the kingdom. And verse number 20, there's those that are excluded from the kingdom. Amen. Those that enter in are twofold. There's the least and the greatest. And it depends on how you handle the word of God. If you look at the word of God and say, well, here's great commands, here's little commands, and we'll let the little slide, our Lord said, you'll be little in the kingdom of God. You'll be the least. Amen. But he said, if you'll obey the Bible from cover to cover, if you'll look at it and acknowledge that God's word is God's word from one end to the other, you'll accept that, you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And then, of course, verse 20 says, if you look for righteousness somewhere besides the scriptures, and he says, you're going to be excluded from the house of God or the kingdom of God. Amen. The family of God. All right. Let's look here now at verse number 17, the refuting of the misunderstanding. Our Lord did not want them to believe that he, by what he had said or what he's going to say, that he had gone against the scriptures, had come to destroy the scriptures. You see, the words that our Lord had already spoken in this chapter, in this sermon, were strange words to the Jewish ear. As I said, They thought that when Christ was revealed, he would come to destroy the Romans. They thought he would break the yoke from the neck of the Jew, from the Gentile leadership, and that the Jew would be liberated, and that the blood of men would be spilled by the sword of their Messiah as he came to establish an earthly kingdom. And that will happen, by the way, one day. That is prophesied, but that wasn't at his first coming. His first coming was to come not to shed the blood of men, but to shed his blood for men. Amen. Not to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen. He came that men might be saved. He talked about being meek. He had talked about showing mercy. He talked about mourning for sin. He talked about being a peacemaker. Especially that part about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That sounded strange in the ear of the Jew when they were thinking about the Messiah and a kingdom that was to come. And they didn't understand that. And so perhaps they thought, this man is going against those prophecies of the Old Testament. This man is going against those statements of the Old Testament. And therefore, he must be against them. Either he's a false Messiah or he's come to destroy all that. And he's going to start something new. And so our Lord said, don't even think that. Don't even think it. I'm not against the Scriptures. Well, these people had two religious guides or guidelines that they revered and held high in esteem. One was the Scriptures as it was interpreted by the scribes. And the other was their tradition as it had been passed down by the Pharisees. They thought this was their rule of holy conduct. They saw their religion only in ritual. They saw their religion only in deeds and doings. And so when our Lord came and opposed the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, they again thought perhaps he's against the Bible. If he's opposed to the teachers of the Bible, is he not opposed to the Bible itself? They thought that since Christ was against the traditions of their conduct, then he must be unholy. They talked about, in the different scriptures, they asked why his disciples ate with unwashed hands. They talked about him breaking the Sabbath and on and on and on that they went with their traditions, by the way, that our Lord was against. And so again, they thought that Jesus perhaps was not the Messiah they were looking for, or else he's going to destroy all those former doctrines of the scriptures and introduce something totally new. By the way, let me just make this note here as I'm headed through this. That is exactly what some men teach. They say that Jesus did away with the Old Testament. That Jesus did away even with the nation of Israel. They're done. And God's through with them. And he started something new. Even though our Lord specifically stated he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. Amen. There are those that teach that the Old Testament is not for this age. It has no meaning for us and no merit in this dispensation. Some of those people say that the Old Testament was written only for the Jew. And with their rejection of the Messiah, God has written them off, cast them away. Their opportunity is ended and their plan of salvation is nullified. That's what some men teach. But our Lord was plain to say in verse number 17, think not. Don't even think that. That's what he said. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen. Now, here's what these Jews did not realize. They did not realize that they were ignorant of the Scriptures. They hadn't read the Scriptures themselves. They were relying on what the scribes said that the Scriptures said. That's why our Lord said, ye have heard that it was said. He never said, ye have read. He never said it was written. He said, ye have heard that it was said. By the way, you go to camp meetings across America and you're apt to hear a lot of things that you won't read in the Bible. Amen. Amen. You're apt to hear a lot of things that it was said, but either it's a misreading or a misunderstanding of the Scripture. So these Jewish people didn't realize they had misread or misunderstood what the scribes had said in about these prophecies. Again, they saw the second coming of our Lord, but they missed the first coming. They could not see that. And so they were misled in what they were seeing. It's just like, you know, the man that prophesied yesterday, and I didn't read a lot about it, but I just saw the headline. Yesterday was supposed to be the end of the world, some people thought. And some said, no, he wasn't talking about the end of the world. He was just talking about the rapture. Well, he didn't go up. I don't know where he went, but I'm sure he didn't go up. Because we didn't go up. Amen. Amen. I don't know if he's going up. I am. And when the Lord comes, he's not going to leave me behind. Amen. Amen. That's right. But he didn't come. You know why that man taught that? Because he's ignorant. He's misreading the scriptures. He's misleading people by his misreading of the scriptures. And our Lord's saying that. Listen, our Lord said, I'm not against the scriptures, but I'm against those that distort the scriptures. I'm against those that pervert the scriptures. I'm against those that misread and mislead with the scriptures. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. And since this is Wednesday evening, I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to tune in and listen to our live Wednesday night service tonight at 7 p.m. We are not having open services in the Island Ford Baptist Church, just restricted services tonight with the radio crew and our families, our wives, and so we'll be restricted tonight. But we will be airing those services live at 7 p.m. tonight over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. Also like to mention that, Lord willing, we're going to be open for full-time services on Sunday, this coming Sunday. And so hope that you'll make a point of that and remember that and pray for us. Also, that means then that next Wednesday we won't be airing our live services. We'll actually be airing the Faith Baptist Camp on Monday through Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. And so hope you'll stay tuned and be a part of that. All right. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.